Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media, and I am back. I know for our avid listeners, my three-week absence was devastating, and but you were in, I'm gonna say good hands, able hands, maybe not so much, because I was cringing through some of the episodes, but you were... Oh, you're on a different mic. Give me a second. It's hard to tell which one's which when you're looking to the screen.
No, that's so fine. I did that to Jake a couple times.
Oh, it's all good. He doesn't mind. So we have a very interesting conversation, and we're joined by a very special guest. You want to quickly introduce yourself?
Hi there. My name's Kiralyn Furtimer. I'm from Project Soundcheck.
Excellent. And what's Project Soundcheck about?
So Project Soundcheck is a campaign from the Ottawa Coalition to End Violence Against Women and the Sexual Assault Network in Ottawa. We're funded by Crime Prevention Ottawa, and what we do is we go around to festivals like Capital Pride and music festivals like Blues Fest, and we talk to staff and volunteers about nonviolent ways to use bystander intervention to prevent sexual violence.
Excellent. Now, this is, of course, very important because... I know that everybody seems to think that in terms of the Pride world, Toronto is the Pride world. Sadly, Toronto, this is not the case. Montreal Pride is this weekend, I believe.
Yes.
Very exciting. So we might have some tips for people going to Montreal Pride. Kind of how can you better take care of yourself whilst you're there? Some safety tips. And then, of course, Ottawa Pride is the week after. And we also have Brockville Pride, Peterborough Pride. And there are so many prides still to happen in the other provinces all over the place. So mm-hmm. if the pride in your area has already happened, are you eating a Kinder Egg?
Maybe.
All I can hear is, like... noises and
it
and
you're, melted
and you're totally eating a Kinder. Okay, so Sebastian's been collecting the Star Wars figurines in these Kinder Egg.
Is it a Star Wars in the middle?
Not this one. This one's a lame duck.
Oh,
it's a lemon. It's actually like a keychain thing that you can put your name on in case you lose your luggage, but it has Darth Vader on it as well.
Oh, that's cool. But he was collecting like these dangly bobblehead thingies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a ridiculous volume.
Yes, because I'm trying to get the whole set.
I feel like if I was 5 years old and it was Easter and I got a luggage tag keychain, I'd be really bummed out.
Yeah, no, it's quite upsetting. Yeah. So,
but it's a Darth Vader one.
So it's immediately 10 times better?
Well, now it's only mildly disappointing instead of completely disappointing.
Oh, this is true. Anyway, yes. So how much work have you done on this with festivals so far? You said this was, what, your 25th or 26th radio interview?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've done a lot of radio.
This summer alone?
This week.
Whoa!
But, you know...
Well done,
This one's at my old school. I love coming to Carleton, so I went here for a really long time. So, you know, this is probably the best radio appearance of the week.
Yeah. We win.
I found out when I got to campus that there was still $20 on my campus card.
Oh, really?
So I got a free Starbucks. So, yeah, so we work with all kinds of festivals in Ottawa. We're formally in our second year. The project's existed in one form or another for a few years. And Capital Pride was with us last year as well as this year. We did 3 sessions with their team, just finished up this week with Capital Pride, actually. They've been a really good festival partner. Yeah, it's been going really well.
Excellent. And it's obviously, I mean, our listeners, at least online and in other areas, are probably quite interested in... In the Pride festivals, but you work with is it all types of festivals like Indian Fest or just music festivals? Or?
We'll go anywhere that will have us. We're funded by Crime Prevention Ottawa, which means our services are available to any kind of big group that wants to have us. The reason that Project Soundcheck exists is there was a study done in the Ottawa Hospital emergency room that found that 1 in 4 new cases of sexual violence reported in Ottawa happen at or around a mass gathering like a festival.
Wow.
Yeah, so that means a quarter of the people coming to the emergency room for help after experiencing sexual assault they were at a big group of people when it happened or when it started. So that's why we go and we talk to people at festivals. But when we talk to volunteers at Pride or at Blues Fest or at any event, we're hoping that people will also take those skills into other spaces, because it can also be used at a party or at a bar or at something that doesn't have, you know, a volunteer orientation session for me to come to. Right. So we also know that lots of the Capital Pride folks will go, like you said, to, you know, parties in Toronto, parties in Montreal. They'll go beyond the city. So even though this has started in Ottawa with Crime Prevention Ottawa, it's reaching people beyond that.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you when you're saying about large crowds, it's worth noting that not just for Ottawa, where the Ottawa Pride Festival is the city's largest one-day festival, with 110,000 people in attendance at the last count. Now, Sebastian does have very strong opinions about police figures.
Uh-huh.
he has complained many times about how wishy-washy it is.
Well, there's a method for how to approximate the numbers in a crowd, and the people who are trained to do that are not always the people who actually tell you.
Okay.
How many people there were, and okay. So you ask a cop, you know, how many people approximately were in that crowd, and they go 75,000, and you're like, that sounds vague, and they're like, yeah, I was at a thing with 75,000, it looked about the same.
So it's not always, but they do, they estimate roughly depth of an audience, you know, how concentrated the number of audiences. There are slightly more scientific ways of coming.
Oh yeah,
up,
yeah, yeah.
But my point really is,
I'm not saying they can't.
Is that the ones that you've spoken to?
Yeah.
Wing it.
Yeah.
My point really is that at least in Ottawa, and I think in many other cities, Pride is one of the biggest events. So last year, you obviously had conversations with folks at Ottawa Pride. What do you think the impact was in terms of safety after those conversations at Pride Festival last year?
Well, what we hear is that people feel more confident to intervene. So the program that we have is really focused on bystander intervention if something might be going wrong. There's other programs designed to stop people from, you know, committing sexual violence in the first place. And I've heard already from Pride organizers that they've used some of the little tips and tricks that we do share. So I think that we're bringing an increased conversation to it. And it's not just us, it's other people as well that are speaking in social media and in mainstream media about safety and sexual violence at festivals. But the problem is that in these big groups, it can be really difficult to feel like you can intervene. So I think the biggest change that Project Soundcheck has been part of is giving people that power to feel like, yeah, if something doesn't look right, I can step in.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to give a little bit of background, what does it actually look like? Like, what is the nature of sexual assault at a festival? Because normally when people think of sexual assault, they don't necessarily think of, you know, unwanted grabbing. You know, your average person off the street might think of being dragged down an alleyway and that sort of thing. And when you have that many people, that's way less likely to happen. So what is the actual, what should we be keeping an eye out for?
Well, sexual assault can mean a lot of things, but mm-hmm. definitely assaults that start at crowds or even in crowds can include rape as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, what you might think of as grabbing or something like that. People that are going to the Ottawa hospital after a festival, people that are part of the study, that's people who've experienced rape, that kind of sexual violence. So it runs a gamut, and it can sometimes start with, you know, groping and that kind of stuff. One thing that we know that it looks like is often drug and alcohol facilitated sexual mm-hmm. assault. So the profile of sexual violence in a big group is really different than in other parts of our lives. Mm-hmm. In our lives, if we experience sexual violence, it's most likely to be from someone we know.
Mm-hmm.
At a festival, there's a profile that can include strangers. It can include someone slipping something in a drink, but also just taking advantage of the fact that someone's under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And that's like really depressing, bad news that people go to events in Ottawa with drugs on them to slip to somebody. But the sort of silver lining, if you can look at it that way, is for someone to attack someone in a big group of strangers, it means there's a big group of people there
yeah.
who could potentially
step in and help.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was just told a little earlier today by, I bumped into an old professor of mine from the political science department.
Did it hurt?
No, I did apologize. No, it's...
That was a dad joke, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, one is bad as the other. But I was speaking to him, and he was telling me about a new program out of Queen's University, actually. They just announced it in the last day or two. And it's a train-the-trainer model, where they're training people on how to kind of de-escalate situations, bystander intervention kind of model. But they're training, like, student leaders, but, like, 900-something of them.
Okay.
And the idea is that they'll have one for every single class at Queen's University in the undergraduate program.
Okay.
So, and then they will all each give a class presentation on how to intervene. It's a great kind of way of disseminating that information. And it's the first time they're rolling it out. But how cool is that? Is that
all I can think is that it makes me think of how Paul taught the Fremen how to use the Weirding Way. That was a Dune reference. I'm sorry.
I mean, which obviously we all understand.
Science fiction.
I need to get like those sound machines where I can do like the cricket sound whenever.
Somebody out there in the listening audience thought that was hilarious.
If you found that hilarious, tweet us at VelvetStudio1. let me just check my Twitter. Actually, I do have a Twitter notification, so this might be somebody genuinely tweeting.
That is most likely from me.
Oh, did you tweet?
That is mostly from at Octiva or at San Ottawa, which you can follow if you want more information on hashtag Project Soundcheck.
Actually, Luke and I sometimes text each other on air instead of commenting on things. But
this
anyway.
Where is the thing that says whether or not we got... Okay. Anyway, nobody's tweeting that they got your joke.
This sounds like a later thing to check that out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, nobody.
Clearly, everyone who thought it was hilarious is busy at work and they're like, you know.
They can't tweet.
They're elbow deep in hot dish water and they're like, oh, I can't wait to tweet that as soon as this frying pan is clean.
Okay. Well, we'll take that as read. So we're going to jump to a song by The Clicks, Dirty King. Now, the lead singer of The Clicks is actually on the main stage of Cannibal Pride this year, which is...
You just said Cannibal Pride.
Capital Pride.
There you go.
It's not Cannibal Pride.
I think that's in October.
Oh, went out on a limb with that one, didn't you?
Do you know anyway. Do you know why cannibals usually live alone?
Because
they get fed up with people.
You know, there's a list of things I can't say. I think dad jokes are going to be added to the list of things that you can't say. Anyways, we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I could do the dishes, and I could climb your walls, and I clean out my stitches. You're right. I'm your dirty cook.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio. I totally forgot who we were. This happens to me, sadly, more often than not. So we were talking about, you know, where are we going to be taking the conversation next? We were talking about, obviously, the conversation today is kind of bystander intervention to help prevent sex assaults at large gatherings of people, which, you know, for our context is including pride festivals. So,
or parties in general, really.
Yeah, because we host big parties.
Well,
we did.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're hosting one now, me and Jake. The summer party is going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be like princess themed, and we're going to watch Mean Girls and The Devil Wears Prada.
You're announcing it on the air so that the listening audience can find out about it, get excited about it, and not be invited.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be so jealous of a
I was going to say, it's also something you could use when you're at the Centertown pub or at party, or if you're at Barrymore's. This is, you know, I was going to go a little bit more general.
Yeah, which the listening audience can participate in.
Yes.
But the listening audience are all of our friends, so of course they're all invited to to our slumber party. It's going to be
if you want an invitation,
fun.
Even if you're a total stranger in Toulouse apartment.
Tweet us at Studio One. Clearly nobody else wants to join our slumber party. we have no Twitter messages. That's
all right,
fine.
So starting, let's start with how do you spot a situation. Like, how do you know something is happening?
Yeah, so one of the big questions that we get is, like, what if I don't know exactly what's going on? I think that people that volunteer at festivals, especially people that volunteer at Pride, they really want to help people out. They definitely say that if, you know, if they knew sexual violence was going to happen, they would do something.
Yeah.
But they feel worried because they don't know exactly. How do you tell exactly what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we recommend doing something non-confrontational. Where you don't have to know for sure what's happening. But some things you can look for is if somebody looks like maybe they've been slipped a drug or they're too intoxicated to take care of themselves, they might be vulnerable. So they're falling over, they're missing clothes, they're missing shoes. Someone is sort of having to carry them.
Yeah.
Also, if someone seems like they're like coercively, you know, following someone, not letting someone get away, leaning on someone, grabbing them.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And that can be hard to read. It can be hard to tell, you know, is this potential sexual violence? Is this
people? Or is it just somebody taking care of their friend?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. And I get that feedback a lot from people, which is why we recommend things that aren't running up and saying, like, hey, I think that you're about to commit sexual violence at a mass gathering and I'm here to do bystander intervention. But just literally asking people how they're doing. Mm. The project is called Project Sound Check because I want people to check in to make sure everyone's safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really simple. Sometimes when I say bystander intervention to people, they picture like, okay, I'm going to run in and punch someone out and rescue the princess and carry her off. And that's
Citizen's arrest.
People love that, which is like a good starting point in terms of enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really just asking people to say to someone, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, how's your night going?
Yeah.
And if you see someone that looks like they might be in trouble, but you're not sure, and you ask them how it's going, you know, maybe you'll talk to them for a bit and then all their friends will spill out of the porta potties and you'll feel confident that actually they're fine.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll ask you for help. Maybe they'll say, yeah, I don't know what to do, but this is going on for me. And you could help them get home safe or find their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they'll be unable to ask you for help. Maybe they'll be in real distress and you'll decide, you know what, I'm going to involve someone from security or I'm going to get them to paramedics to get medically assessed.
Yeah.
But just checking in, keeping an eye on things. These sound really non-dramatic, but they're very helpful. Asking someone what's up.
Well, if anything else, if something amiss is about to happen, they know they're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
So they may, if there is an assault about to happen, the assaulter may walk away.
Absolutely. So the weird thing about the mass gatherings is that I think a lot of us feel safe at a big event. I know when I was younger, my mother would have rather heard I was going to a big parade or a big festival where there's going to be lots of people around than going off to some secluded park with a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, there's this thing called bystander apathy, where when we see something wrong, when we're around a lot of people, we feel like, you know what, maybe someone else will do something about it. And perpetrators know about this too.
Mm-hmm.
They feel invisible in a crowd. It's kind of like that thing when you go to Babylon at doors and no one's smoking because there's like only a handful of people there and you're not allowed to smoke. And then at 1 in the morning when it's totally crowded, someone might light something up. It's like, why is that? Why would they rather break the law in front of 1,000 people than 5 people? Mm-hmm. You'd think you'd want fewer witnesses, but it's because we know. We know intuitively people aren't really going to say anything. There's too many people around. No one's going to do anything. And so perpetrators of sexual violence know that as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, letting exactly what you said, letting people know that you're watching them, that you're there. Just approaching people. And again, it doesn't have to be about sexual violence. It can be approaching someone and asking how their night's going. And then people notice, okay, people are paying attention.
And you could even say something like, what's your friend's name? And
if
they can't say their name, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, absolutely. You can say anything. Mm-hmm. Bystander intervention is kind of cool because it's a safety strategy, but it's also very flexible. It's not like learning CPR or stop, drop, and roll. Like, you don't have to do it one way every time. The way you might intervene when you're with your friends and you know where you are and you know all the staff is very different than if you're alone or, you know, if you're unfamiliar, you know, with the situation or if you've been partying. You can intervene all kinds of ways. Another thing that works is to walk up and act totally clueless. It doesn't put people on the defensive and just be like, oh my God, isn't this party amazing? I love this band. I love this whatever. And you're engaging people in conversation. And if someone is vulnerable and wants help, they might, you know, walk away with you. They might engage in conversation with you. And if someone is doing something wrong and you engage them in conversation, the person they're targeting might take that as a chance to walk away. Mm-hmm. And it's not putting someone's back up because you're literally walking up like, what's up? Happy Pride. This is great. You know, that's not likely to put somebody on the defensive. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And I think that really highlights the approach of, as you mentioned, of kind of being really being non-violent. Because, of course, you don't want people to go in and intervene and maybe escalate situations. You know, has that been an element of the training? You know, if you see somebody doing something wrong, don't punch them in the face.
Yeah, people do really want to punch people in the face. People, there is a need in this city for, like, more... I don't know what, like, fight clubs or something, because people are out there asking me, when exactly am I allowed to punch people in the face? Please don't. Please don't do it and say I said it was okay. It's less dramatic, but it's really about asking people how they're doing.
Right.
You know, and we don't want people to go out there and put themselves in danger, do something that makes them feel unsafe. We're asking people, to just check how people are, because a good bystander, we say, lowers the temperature of the situation. They don't raise the temperature. They don't escalate. They don't add a bunch more violence to a situation. And they keep everyone's safety in mind, you know, including their own. So, yeah, we are asking people to not escalate situations. And the truth is, a lot of the time, people don't know exactly what's going on. So that's another good reason not to jump in with violence right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you found, like, I mean, this project's been going for 2 years now. Have you found that there has been... like actual improvements in terms of numbers? Has the Ottawa Hospital been tracking any kind of improvements over the past 2 years? Like, is there a statistical effect of these trainings?
So that's a really interesting area, because numbers with this is very tricky. Because, you know, not everyone, first of all, chooses to report sexual violence. Not everyone goes to the hospital. Not everyone goes to the police. Some people do one. Some people do neither, which is totally up to the individual. The other thing is that a small increase in reports is not always bad news. Mm-hmm. We'd love it if there was no sexual violence at all. Mm-hmm. But if a festival has no assaults or one assault on record 1 year, then they talk about this a lot. And the next year they have 4 on record. It might mean that last year they had 10 and only one person got help. And this year they only had 4, but everyone got help. Mm-hmm. So the hospital is tracking information. And one thing we know is that people have used the Project Soundcheck resource cards we give out to access the hospital services. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, sexual violence is still happening in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. But that men and women have used our little tip cards that we give out and brought them into the emergency room to ask for help. We would love to just end all sexual violence. But we also want people out there, you know, looking out for maybe someone who's already experienced violence, or if they spot someone who's in distress, asking them if they need something, getting someone to paramedics, and they might choose, you know, to go to a hospital and access support resources or medical resources. So it's still happening. Sexual violence is still happening. But one thing that we have tracked is that people are reporting after they do the program, they do feel more comfortable intervening. So that's just like, bystander intervention is just one piece of ending sexual violence. We also have to get people to stop perpetrating it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So please stop perpetrating.
Yeah, please talk to your friends about it. Talk to young people about it. Give people resources. Don't normalize the idea that one great thing about going to a party is everyone will be drunk and easy to have sex with. That's not a great idea.
Because that's one great way of getting arrested for sexual assaults.
Something else I've noticed, speaking with quite a few, especially younger gay men, but younger people in general, is many of them are not necessarily well informed as to what counts as sexual assault, and many of them aren't aware of the fact that something had happened to them that does count as sexual assault and is illegal. And so the education of what does and does not count as being assault or even rape is also a part of the process of trying to reduce this. Having people say, you know, this is not cool, but this is a specific variety of not cool that I'm educated on, and I know that I should not put up with this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, one thing that's happening in Ontario right now is that young people are hopefully going to be getting better consent education through their schools with a shift in the curriculum. Mm-hmm. It'd be really great if when I go out to talk to 25-year-old festival volunteers or 20-year-old university students, they're not talking about consent for the first time in their lives.
Yeah.
So I think we are having, you know, hopefully a cultural shift where people are talking about it when they're younger. But I first volunteered with Pride 12 years ago, maybe 14 years ago, I think. I love Pride. I go to Pride. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I talk about sexual violence at big events, people think I'm telling them to stay home. Don't stay home. Mm-hmm. I will be partying. I go to music festivals. I love these kinds of events. But I will tell people that are going to those the same thing that I tell kids at Frosh Week, at Orientation Week. If you're using a lot of drugs and alcohol, if you make that decision, or the people you're with are, and you meet somebody that you really want to hook up with, I'm not here to tell you not to make friends. I'm not here to tell you not to have sex. One great thing to do is get their number. And if it's a good idea at midnight at the foam party, it'll be a good idea the next day. And when you're sitting around having hangover breakfast at the diner in the afternoon the next day, text that person if you still really want to hook up with them. And if you think, whoa, I was really wasted last night and I would have made bad decisions, then you'll be glad. I'm not, you know, I'm not coming out to talk to people at festivals to try and get them not to have fun or not to have sex or not to go on dates. Absolutely. Have a good time. But you'll probably feel better about yourself if you know that the person that you just hooked up with is psyched about it.
Yeah. Also that you're making the decision and not just sort of stumbling into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, something that back when I used to go out maybe 3 times a month, I had sort of a personal policy of sorts that if something looks like it's about to happen, all I need to do is wait 2 hours. I don't have to be totally sober, but I have to be way more sober than I am now. And 2 hours, I'm a big guy, in case you haven't noticed. I'm 6'2". So, I mean, I process things moderately quickly. 2 hours is enough that if something is a good idea now and in 2 hours it's still a good idea, you know, there's less buyer's remorse and I'm that much more sober that I'm more capable of being like, you know, this is still a good idea, or, you know what, I think I'm going to just talk to them later about this. And it's
tomorrow.
Just waiting. It's kind of the same thing as, like, if you're going to buy an expensive item in a store, just hold the item and walk around the store and look at other things. And then every so often, look at the thing in your hand, and eventually you'll be like, you know what, yeah, no, I'm going to get this. And other times you'll be like, why am I thinking about this? And then you just put it back on the shelf. Seriously, that's how you prevent buyer's remorse. You can do the same thing with hookups. Just sort of like hang
We're not
it.
Suggesting that you pick up somebody and walk around with them for a couple of hours. That's
I would love to give somebody a piggyback. It's been years.
For a couple of hours?
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. If they're tiny, I could give them a piggyback for a couple hours. That would not be a problem.
Feel like depending on your shoes, that's really helpful. Like,
shoes.
You know, if you're wearing, like, crazy platforms to the parade,
a
piggyback could be great, like, to get you from the north end to the south end of Bank Street. Just throwing
this
that
true.
Out there.
If you want to piggyback from Sebastian, either just in general or during the parade, tweet us at Velvet Studio One, and we can get right on it. Looks like nobody currently wants a piggyback, which is very upsetting.
But they also don't want to go to your slumber party.
I just want to clarify, like, while we're listing our heights and stuff on the radio, can you just say anything on the radio? Like, you can just, like, you're 6'2". Like, you can just throw out any appearance. Like, it's self-identifying our own heights.
I'm actually 3'4".
Well, there's no reason not to, really. I mean, you can disclose as much as you're comfortable with. Some of our guests, actually, some of our regular guests in the past would always come under pseudonyms.
Hmm.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could have had, like, a cool... First of all, I could have talked about the fact that I'm super gorgeous, and I could have had a cool fake name. Next time.
Next time you're on, we'll call you Laser.
Yeah. Yeah, Kirillin, a.k.a. Laser.
I love it. Actually, if you listen to... we listen back to some of our early episodes.
Oh, don't do that.
And the things that we've disclosed about ourselves over the years, like our avid listeners know more about me than I know about me because I forget things. And it's really quite worrying. But yeah, no, we often, to keep conversation going, we often refer to...
our own personal experiences.
Yeah, our own experiences. So I've talked about just about, and when I first started dating Jake, I'm like, you know, FYI, our relationship is fair game for live broadcast. And it has happened on some occasions. Things come up. But yeah, no, it's
what's the feedback? Is that people's favorite part of the show?
No, actually, people's favorite part of the show is usually him just like teasing me, which he does so often.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're the worst. Anyway.
I am literally the worst. Yeah.
Goebbels have got nothing on me.
I am the most bad.
Absolutely.
Not Michael Jackson bad either.
Ooh. Anyway, so I am going to Montreal. I'm not actually going to Montreal, but let's say I am going to Montreal. I want to partay and partake of the alcohol and the drugs whilst I'm there. Let it all loose on the circuit parties. What can I do to make sure that I am being more safe?
So, yeah, the thing about that, when we come up with this study that says that sexual violence happens at mass gatherings, which was a scientific study that confirmed what people honestly have been talking about for years, there's a lot of things you can do. And one thing you can do is tell people no means no, which is asking people, please don't commit sexual violence. The other thing you can do is sort of what you're getting at, which is give out safety tips for people. And like, you know, telling people, watch your drink, don't go out alone. What we've found going out to talk to partiers is they have those messages, is that they've heard that. So not that those are bad messages, because no does mean no and only yes means yes. And those safety tips are important. And if you have stuff that makes you feel safer about partying with friends or limiting your alcohol use or letting people know where you are, by all means, you should do those. But what Project Soundcheck is oriented towards is bystander intervention, which is engaging all those other people at a big event that aren't immediately about to commit sexual violence and aren't immediately in danger of sexual violence, which is most people. So if you're going to go out and party and you want safety tips about what you can do to keep yourself safer, one thing that I would recommend is party at events that care about preventing sexual violence. Because there's a lot of events that take this really seriously. There's a lot of venues, festivals, there's a lot of artists that take this seriously at their shows. And there's a lot of places that have concrete, comprehensive plans to prevent or better respond to sexual violence if it happens. And so I think that we as sort of consumers and as partiers can make the decision to support those festivals and those spaces that choose to do that.
How do we identify them?
Tweet at them and ask them, call them. I'll just make a general call out. If you're a performer, if you're a DJ, if you're a vendor at a festival, ask that festival, what are you doing to make this safer for women, for men, for everyone? What are you doing to prevent sexual violence? Because sometimes they need to know that this is going to affect their... you know, their bottom line. Like, why does a festival have recycling? Why do they bother to have, you know, any number of programs that they have? It's because people like it. It's because of, some festivals care, you know, some people care on their own and they just want to prevent sexual violence, and some are just into understandably responding to what their consumer base wants. So I would really encourage people, if you're buying tickets to a festival, if you're getting excited for a show, you can ask venues, and then it really helps us out if when we're approaching a promoter or a venue to ask them to bring in our training, if they've heard of this idea before, then it really helps us out. And it reminds them that it's on people's radar.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is maybe take some friends with me, a large group of friends. In this minibus that I have for the trip that's not going to Montreal. And then perhaps some of those folks can be the bystanders that would then intervene.
Yeah, a lot of the tips we share, they work whether you know the people or not. So if you see your friend who's in trouble, but you don't feel comfortable calling out what it is, or you see your friend asking, acting shady and you don't want to, I don't know, really accuse them, you don't want to start a fight, that's okay. In that moment, you don't have to. The distraction technique that we were talking about earlier works as well. So if you're out and you know the people and you're like, my friend keeps talking to this person and I don't think they want to go home with them, or my friend keeps getting spoken to by this person and I think they're uncomfortable, you can still go up and be like, hey guys, are we going to get poutine or not? Like, I'm going to the diner. Are we coming? Like, you know, you can use these kinds of techniques with people you know, with people you don't know. I also like the distraction technique because it works no matter the genders of the people involved. Mm-hmm. It's not like a self-defense thing that's based on like the gender binary. It works for people of any or no gender. It works whoever you are. And you can, you know, use it based on what's available to you. Do you know what bus comes here? Do you know what band is on next? Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have used that. The example you gave of...
are you going to talk about our mutual friend who's kind of pushy?
No. Oh, my God.
I have intervened on him a few times.
So yeah. I intervened on somebody who's a couple of friends of ours who were straight were going to a gay bar with us. And it was a big, you know, it was a big group of us. And one of our particularly straight friends was extremely good looking. And
what is particularly straight? Just hold on. What?
Yeah, I know. This is weird.
Like a zero or a six on the Kinsey scale.
Okay.
Like, yeah. No persuasion.
I feel like particularly straight is a bit of a smokescreen, but
it's
all right.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, whatever. You know, and also oblivious to gay men's affections, and just maybe didn't see what was happening, which is obvious to the other gay men in the room that this particular individual was being flirted to, against, for, with. Flirted with. There we go.
I like flirted against.
I am going to flirt against you.
It sounds more tactile.
It does, yeah. It's like almost like it's leaning on you. Like, anyway, whatever. And it's literally, I just distracted them, you know, asked if, you know, are you enjoying the show? You know, should we go get a drink from the bar?
Yeah.
And I think the other person who realized that I was of the homosexual persuasion realized that maybe... this person wasn't as easy a prey as maybe he thought.
Yeah, but I think people are out there like using these techniques before I even you know come in and talk to them. And one thing that Project Soundcheck's done is we've talked to people from all different kinds of communities all across the city and beyond. So we talk to people from different festivals, from different genres, different areas of the city. And one thing that we do is we also take tips that people give us. Mm-hmm. We welcome people giving us tips and we warn them that we're going to share them across the city. We wrote a manual, which is on our website. If
Ooh,
I can plug our website,
yeah.
Which is...
Please do.
Yeah. So if you want to, you can just Google Project Soundcheck or tweet with the hashtag Project Soundcheck. But on San Ottawa's website, the Sexual Assault Network of Ottawa, you can find a bunch of our tip sheets as well as our manual available in English and French. So there's a lot of ideas like that, like the distraction technique and other things that people have shared with us. When we went around in 2015, we gave people anonymous forms to fill out and they gave us lots of cool stuff to share. So that's for 2016. All that information is new and available as PDFs on our website.
What's the best tip that you've had so far that you didn't kind of already know?
The best tip that I've had, probably asking somebody, I think someone said to me this week, they ask someone to take their picture or take their friend's picture.
Oh,
I'm not a cell phone person. Like I just got a cell phone, so it wasn't on my radar, but they're watching someone and they want to give them an excuse to step away. They're worried someone's uncomfortable and they say like, hey, me and my friends want a picture together or in front of this or whatever. Will you take our picture? And the person is engaged in something then, like, they get to, you know, do something and maybe step away from it and go a little further, let's get better light. And that kind of gets them away from the situation. So I like that one because I think it's really unlikely that if you say to someone, you know, can you take my picture, someone's going to feel put on the spot and accused or anything.
Yeah, that's actually a really great, really great technique. Now, do you want to give the story about the friend of ours you intervened on as a bit of a
oh,
cautionary tale?
Oh, it's just an ongoing. It's just a. He's just a very pushy person who does not understand no thank you very well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, he's never gotten to the point where he has sexually assaulted people. But I have actually gone up to him in conversation before and been like, "Yeah, guy, I don't think." The person you're talking to is into it as much as you are. He'd be like, no, guy, I mean, he's totally into it. Be like, okay, no.
I think that also is a bit of a culture clash because I think the person is not Canadian.
No.
And Canadians are terribly polite, which I know as a Brit. And, you know, sometimes you don't pick up on subtle things. But, you know, but you shouldn't have to wear a great big sign that says, no go away.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's also a duty there to kind of pay attention to signals and stuff.
I should also be clear that this is just stuff like, do you want to go to this party with me? And someone's like, it sounds like a fun idea. And then he takes that as yes. And then he's like, I will pick you up at noon. You're like, whoa. I need to check my calendar. I need to see if I have the money for it. He's like, well, you said it's a good idea. I will be at your door tomorrow. And you're like, okay, guy, you need to calm down. So, I mean, this is unintentional. He is very, very, very – and you have to be like, I will say no for now, and I will get back to you later. It's the only way to handle him sometimes.
I think talking to people about consent in other venues that are not sexual is actually a really good place to start talking about consent. And, you know, when we teach, maybe you can teach your friend the way that we recommend to teach, like, little children, which is, you know, maybe we're not going to start talking to our little kids, you know, about sexual violence explicitly. That's understandable. But you can talk to people about, well, they don't want to go on the bicycle with you, so you can't make them. They don't want to go in the pool, so you can't push them in the pool. And we keep our hands to ourselves. And if someone says no, then no.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, starts the conversation. I also wanted to say about the, like, the politeness of Canadians. I think that that can lead to people not intervening sometimes. And I think it's an interesting thing because when we're all on the bus and something weird is happening and everyone sort of agrees together to ignore it and we're all sort of looking down like, let's ignore this, that's sort of nice. It's sort of polite if someone's, you know, having an embarrassing moment or something to just pretend you don't see it. But if we take that sort of shame-based ignoring stuff that seems awkward, it can carry into this sort of like, let's all ignore something weird that's happening to the point of like it being dangerous. So it's a big step that even though we're caring people that want to prevent violence, sometimes we're just been sort of trained, mind your own business.
Yeah.
And we need to overcome that.
Now, one thing that cannot be ignored is the incredible personality that will also be on the main stage of the Pride
Is this
festival.
A bad segue again?
It is, of course, a terrible segue.
Okay.
This is Drake Jensen's Fast Enough For Me. And he will be on the main stage on the Sunday, the 21st?
Okay.
You're on the board. You should know this.
Well, your mother.
Okay, it's fine.
It is the 21st.
Okay, excellent. This is Drake Jensen. We'll be back just after this. Just ain't clear. All it takes is dinner for two. Then they're moving in with you. I was raised in country things. Slow walks and front porch swings. Got someone who likes my pace, and that's fast enough for me. Everybody's trying to get her done, and I'm just here lying in the sun. A long slow kiss on a sandy beach, and that's fast enough. Fast enough. A sunset drive in my old Jeep. My baby's hand upon my knee. And I don't know what you might like, but that's fast enough for me. Try to tame the corporate beast, don't interest me the least. I got a seat and a road to hoe, and a little love is gonna make it grow. Got enough to get me by, like the taste of humble pie. Got a job at Joe's Garage, and that's fast enough for me. Everybody's trying to get her done, and I'm just here lying in the sun. A long slow kiss on a sandy beach, and that's fast enough. Fast enough. A sunset drive in my old Jeep. My baby's hand upon my knee. Well, I don't know what you might like, but that's fast enough. Fast enough for me. I was raised on country things. Slow walks and front porch swings. A George Strait song on the radio, and that's fast enough for me. Everybody's trying to get her done, and I'm just here lying in the sun. A long slow kiss on a sandy beach, and that's fast enough. Fast enough. A
sunset driving my old Jeep, my baby's hand upon my knee. Well, I don't know what you might like, but that's fast enough, fast enough. Everybody's trying to get her done, I'm just here lying fast in enough the sun. Long slow kiss on a sandy beach, and that's fast enough, fast enough.
Hello and welcome back. That was Drake Jensen and Fast Enough For Me. I was just saying about when we had Drake on the show, what an entertaining interview. Like, he was just...
Where was I? I know I wasn't there for that.
You weren't here for that?
No, I wasn't.
You were here for that.
No, I was not. Something was going on. I can't remember. I know I'm going to be missing Monday. For...
What's happening Monday? Our show's not on Monday.
No, it's not. Something else. And I just realized I'm going to a surprise thing, so I can't say what it is that I'm doing.
Oh.
I can't believe this is how you let me know about my surprise party. I can't believe that you would do that. Like, I'll act surprised, but it won't be real, and you'll know.
Yeah, the cat is out the back now. Yeah, yeah. And if whoever you're surprising listens to our show, they're going
to
be...
See, no, the trick is you take somebody out to, like, the Mandarin or something like that. You sign out a whole room, and you just have, like, one sad person with a balloon, and then they're like, surprise! And they're like, oh, worst party ever. And then they go home, and that's where the real surprise party is. And after a day of disappointment, they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God!
So... What you're suggesting to people is that they'll really disappoint their friends.
Yes, absolutely.
So that whatever mediocre effort they put together looks amazing compared to...
Disappointment.
Yeah, always start with bad news for people.
Yes.
All right. We want to talk about...
It's called a sus resolve. Don't you know music?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and your earlier reference both make sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. On that bombshell... Closing remarks. I think we've given lots of really good tips to people in terms of how to intervene if you see something going on. You know, can you take my picture? You know, who's on next? Who's on first or third or however that goes?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, lots of really great tools. You know, is there anything else that you want to, any more wisdom you want to impart with our listeners?
Yeah, just that thanks to the funding from Crime Prevention Ottawa, we're still available to provide free resources and training sessions to events in the Ottawa area. So feel free to get in touch with us. On SAN Ottawa's website, we have lots of resources for anti-racist bystander intervention, so feel free to check those out. Feel free to tweet with the hashtag Project Soundcheck with your ideas. And if you find this stuff interesting, but you haven't been able to come to a session because you're not a festival volunteer, we're really excited to announce that on August 20th, we'll be giving our first Project Soundcheck session that's open to the public.
Ooh.
Which is thanks to Media Style and the Arboretum Festival running an event called The Commons. So it's at City Hall on the 20th. The Facebook event is just called Project Soundcheck, and it's a $10 donation to the Ottawa Food Bank. And you can come have a session with me, chat, talk to us, and share ideas with each other at Media Styles Commons at the Arboretum Festival.
Do you know where it is in City Hall? It's a big building.
I believe it's at this place that will be set up called Festival Village that's outside.
Oh, okay.
As far as I understand it. But the Arboretum's website or the Media Styles social media presence will have more information.
So I want to just quickly talk about the Olympics, and I'm kind of annoyed. First of all, you know, Facebook is looking at phasing out clickbait news articles, and there's a couple that are more guilty than others.
Like George Takei.
Oh, but he's hilarious, so, you know, he gets away with it. But no, there is one, and they sent their reporter, and I'm going to name and shame the reporter, but I would prefer people not to... you know, go to this news outlet because it's not worth the time of day. And his name is Nico Hines. And he's a straight journalist. And he went on Grindr in Rio de Janeiro and essentially trawled for any closeted gay athletes that he could find to write an article about, oh my gosh, there are so many and it's all... sex at the Olympics.
Well, everybody knows it's sex at the Olympics.
Everybody knows that. But what he did was he didn't put names, which is a relief.
Yeah.
But he did put enough identifiers that it's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so, a gymnast from Poland in the semifinals. Like, it doesn't take much to figure out who that is.
It'll be, you narrow it down to two people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably just one.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so from a country where it's illegal to be gay. You know, and it's like, but it's so huge backlash to that article. You know, there are stories, there is a conversation about athletes, and I think Tom Daley even spoke about it in his Attitude magazine interview, about how you spend 6 months training nonstop, and then you perform, and then there's such a drive for the release that, of course, you know, these athletes have dedicated so much time, want to have a bit of fun, let
loose. They have no social life.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to eat a carb. You're not allowed to have any alcohol.
If you look at a carb, you're in trouble. If you spell it, oh my God.
Except for water polo, because they actually train, and the few days before the compete, they pack on weight because it makes them more buoyant and better at competing. I used to know a few water polo
players.
That
would explain why McDonald's is one of the sponsors for the water polo team. Yeah.
But who doesn't, you know, try and go on dates or hook up sometime when they're on vacation sometime? Yeah. Like, if I went to Brazil on my spring break, like, yeah, they're at the Olympics and they're athletes, but they're also people on a business trip, you know?
Yeah. Enough said. Everyone knows business trips.
It's Rio.
This is true.
It's and you have to do the Duran, like, Rio Grand. Oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
And
you had a couple of stories about the Olympics as well.
Did I?
Oh, there was, you posted about Australian commentator.
Just that hilarious Australian commentator. There was the 2 3-meter divers from the Philippines who did very poorly. And this one Australian commentator was just basically like, there they go. They look dedicated face. They're all tucked in. Right here, you could tell they look like they're not going to do it. And they throw their hands up in the air and just give it up. But look at that splash. So much splash. It was like he was trying to maximize splash. Off to the sauna to relax. He doesn't care. He's getting laid. It was just this. And I was like, if all sports commentators were like this, I would actually watch sports.
And I was filtering a lot more swearing.
All of the swearing, by the way.
And the heavy Australian accent.
So much swearing. But I would watch. I would watch sports if they commented like that.
Now, I have an issue also. Media coverage of the Olympics has been deplorable. Absolutely deplorable.
The biggest controversies have to do with sexism.
Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in a nuanced way.
Yeah.
The Daily Mail had so many concerns and issues with Tom Daley and Goodfellow, forget his first name, the men's Olympic diving. Tom Daley, famously openly gay athlete.
Yeah.
Also so attractive, I just went sploosh. But and Goodfellow. But when they got the bronze, I mean, the reaction's priceless. And then they give like a really, really genuine, heartfelt hug in their tiny, tiny Speedos. And, you know, and you can just see the emotion of this hug. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful moment.
Was it synchronized diving?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's just, it's a beautiful moment in history.
They spent the past year learning how to read each other's bodies and perfectly mimic each other. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're close.
But not that close, because Goodfellow
is
a heterosexual.
Not that kind of close.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. And the Daily Mail suggested that they should just pat each other on the back and do jolly good show, yes, chin chin. and it's like, I mean, that's a kind of a new iteration of sexism. Well, not new, it's a nuanced iteration.
Is that
of sexism.
Is that homophobia, or is that them just being British?
No, it was homophobia.
Oh dear, you had an emotion. Harumph!
But speaking of emotion, it was, is it the one athlete from like the Philippines or South Korea?
The heavyweight lifter. I think he's from El Salvador, maybe? But he was like, and he did the lift, and he bring it up over his head, he dropped it, and then he did the cutest little like 8-year-old happy dance. He's like,
yeah, I'm like, thinking of the girl from, it might be in China, and she's one of the swimmers, and she just looks so happy about everything, and it's just, you can't just help but smile.
Well, one of my favorite moments in the Olympics, and I don't really care about the Olympics, so this is actually saying a lot, was when Silken Lamman got the bronze in 2002, I think. She had been rowing in the Olympics for about 20 years by that point in time. She was one of the first people to go to 4 consecutive Olympics. So she had a long career as a rower, and she had never placed until her very last one when she was in her mid-40s and she got bronze. And one of the reporters was like, so you've been doing this for most of your life and you've only gotten bronze. Are you disappointed? And Silken Lamman was like, are you kidding me? I'm in my 40s and I'm third best in the world. what is wrong with you? And she was just like berating the reporter, like, what are you doing? I'm like, in the world of all people who row professionally, I'm number three. What do you want from me? And it was just this really awesome moment. And a lot of athletes are like that, where they're like, you know what, I didn't place, but I ranked out everyone in my country. I am the top in Russia or Poland or Belarus. I don't know why only Eastern Bloc. I'm the best in Uganda. So, I mean, like, clearly I'm pretty damn good. I didn't place on the international stage, but I got a free trip paid for by the government to go to another place and party. Like, half of them are just, like, stoked to be there.
Yeah. I mean, the number
But the
of...
reporters always talk about it in terms of disappointment.
Yeah. Oh, was it one of the women who won gold and everyone's like, her husband is such a great help. It's like, really? Really? Was he pushing her in a wheelchair? Like, how is this?
No.
Anyway, media, get your together is what I'm saying. Yeah. But lots of great gay news coming out of the Olympics. The marriage proposal, where thankfully she said yes. The Brazilian rugby team marriage proposal. Beautiful, beautiful footage. Check it out.
Just actually, speaking about that, there's been a lot of complaints about how the women athletes from Canada are not being well reported. But I do know that the women's rugby sevens, so the international rugby competition, if you're not familiar with it, the women's team from Canada always ranks. They're always in the top five. I think they've only won number one like once or twice, but the Canadian women's team is reliably very good. People put money on the women from Canada, and yet not very well reported. We actually have really, really, really good female athletes, and they do not get the credit that they deserve half the time.
But on this station, they will. Unfortunately, not on this show, because we have run out of time.
Boo.
I know, sad harumph. Story.
Harumph.
Absolutely harumph. but we're playing out with Hot Hot Heat. This is from their final album. They're closing out with this. This is a Canadian band, and this is the song Kid Who Stays in the Picture. It was just released. Let us know what you think about it. Tweet us at Velvet Studio One. You can also let me know if you're coming to a slumber party or if you want a piggyback ride from Sebastian. And we'll be back next week, and have a great day. Bye-bye.